Lift it up if you have a Bible. Let's open our hearts to receive. Ready? Let's say this together. This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. And Lord, we open our hearts today to receive from you. This is not just a religious part of a service. This is not just getting through something that is typical and normal and traditional. Lord, we want and need to hear a word and words from your Spirit today to speak right into our hearts, into the very issues and circumstances of our lives. And so, Lord, I pray that I would be used by you to deliver accurately that which you've given to me. And may the Holy Spirit take it and customize it to every single individual person in this room so that all would know that God has spoken to them today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, let's open our Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, and we're beginning a new series along the same lines as what we just finished, Be Filled with the Spirit. Now we're moving into Be Led by the Spirit. And I want to show you the scriptures that the Holy Spirit reminded me of that led us to begin this study. Luke chapter 3, and I want us to all begin reading at verse 21, and we'll read down through verse 23, and then we'll skip over and read a couple of other verses in the next chapter. Luke 3, 21 through 23, I'm reading from the New King James, so if you don't have that version, that's okay, but follow along on the screen so we can all read the same words and know where we are. Let's all read together. Luke chapter 3, verses 21 through 23, let's read. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized, and while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. Now Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, the son of Haley. And let's stop there because it goes into a long genealogical list. Maybe the longest in terms of a single file line. It goes all the way from Joseph all the way back to Adam. And let's pick it up in chapter 4, the first verse. Let's all read verse 1 together of Luke 4. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. I want you to focus your attention on two things. It said, then Jesus, being filled. Well, when did that filling happen? It happened at the River Jordan when the heaven opened and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form as a dove. It says, then Jesus, being filled with the Spirit, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And if you look at verse 2, it says, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. Now let's skip down to verse 14 of Luke chapter 4. And let's read this out loud together. Let's read. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region. Now, I wanted us to read these number of verses because these are the verses that the Holy Spirit highlighted to me in my mind as I was preparing to go into the next phase of study with our church. See, we talked about being filled with the Holy Spirit and how Jesus was very intentional and also very intense and motivating toward us, not just receiving the story about the goodness and the forgiveness of God by the blood of Jesus, but also waiting and seeking to be filled with the Holy Spirit and His power so that we could become the witnesses properly to the world. Never did Jesus intend for us to go out and just to have a little story, but to actually have Jesus himself with us. Isn't that right? Does everybody understand the difference? There's a difference between knowing a story and knowing him. There's a difference between knowing him and having him with you. And every time Jesus would send out his disciples, he would say something to this effect, like from Matthew 10, go out and preach the gospel, and as you do, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you've received, freely give. That means you have something to give. It's not just a story. There is power on your life. And so Jesus commanded us to be filled with the Spirit so that we could tell others and be a witness, not just a witness of a story, but an actual channel of the power of God to people to say, hey, you want to know God? You want something from the Lord? Hey, you came to the right person because I am one of His. Amen. See the difference? That's different than just saying, hey, if you have a need, God can do something about it. Go ask Him. No, you came to me. I happen to be in the family. I'm royalty. I have an anointing from the Lord. But that is the privilege of those who have been anointed and filled with the Holy Spirit. They have received something that they can turn around and distribute and give to others in terms of, or meaning, the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I intended to go directly from be filled with the Spirit right into the power of the Spirit, and it seemed like the right flow to me. It seemed like what the Lord was going to lead me into because He was stirring my heart about moving in the power of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and so on. But in preparing for that, in fact, I even told our graphics leader, hey, get the sign out there ready and put up there the power of the Spirit, because that's what we're going to be going into. And I had to call her back a day or two later and say, no, hold on. We're going to talk about being led by the Spirit. And these are the verses that the Holy Spirit drew my attention to. It says in the first verse of chapter 4, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted for 40 days and 40 nights by the devil. And then in verse 14, it says, then He returned in the power of the Spirit. I want you to notice the in-between subject. He was filled with the Spirit, then led by the Spirit, and then returned in the power of the Spirit. It doesn't mean that necessarily that has to be some long-term division between being filled and moving in the power of the Spirit. But what it does mean is that there is something important that we need to understand about being led by the Spirit. Because if you don't know how to be led by the Holy Spirit, then when you go to minister with the power of the Spirit, you can attempt to minister the wrong way and you won't have good results. As well as receiving other people trying to minister the power of the Holy Spirit towards you, you need to be led by the Holy Spirit to know what really is the Holy Spirit and what is just that person. Because how many of you know when the Holy Spirit moves through people, the Holy Spirit's always perfect and pure and accurate, but it's the human beings that can contaminate that. Is that right? Amen. We have flesh. We think about ourselves. We're concerned about what others think about us. We've had a bad day. We've got tension and stress on our minds. And all of that can seep into that pure anointing that is trying to be delivered to people. And so we who are also recipients of the Holy Spirit through other people, which we ought to be, we also need to be led by the Spirit to know what is truly from the Holy Spirit and what was contaminated by the flesh. And we, as we say sometimes, we need to learn to eat the meat and spit out the bones. Isn't that right? Well, to do that, you need to be in touch with the Holy Spirit inside of you so that you can discern that. Instead of throwing the baby out with the bathwater and discounting something that the Holy Spirit is saying to you because it came through a human being that has weaknesses. We need to learn that the Holy Spirit speaks through imperfect people. In fact, the Holy Spirit never speaks here through perfect people. Is that true? So if you're waiting for the perfect person to come, you're going to wait a long time because Jesus has been delaying now by 2,000 years. That's Him. Everybody else that the Holy Spirit ministers to you through is an imperfect vessel, and they're going to have weaknesses that you can discover. And if you discount the power of the Spirit because of their weaknesses, then you're going to miss out on tremendous things that the Holy Spirit has for you. Now, be filled with the Spirit, and now we're dealing with being led by the Holy Spirit. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And let's read verse 14 together. Romans chapter 8, verse 14, let's read. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Let's read it again. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Notice now, we read about Jesus being led by the Holy Spirit, but here it says others should be led. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. I want you to notice what it didn't say. Sometimes you can learn as much from the Word by what it didn't say as what it does say. Notice He didn't say, everybody that's a son of God is led by the Spirit of God. That's not true, is it? It's not true that everybody that receives Jesus as Lord is led by the Holy Spirit. How many of you know that's right? If that was true, then we wouldn't have any mistakes. We would never sin because the Holy Spirit doesn't lead you to sin. The Holy Spirit didn't lead you to cop that attitude towards your spouse. No, he didn't. They did. They provoked me. Notice it didn't say everybody that's a son of God is led by the Spirit. It says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. In other words, the Holy Spirit is not leading people who are not born again on the earth. He's leading people who are born again, who have opened themselves up to be led by the Holy Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. This is what happened with Jesus. Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit everywhere he went. And that's why he was so tremendously successful in his life of touching, reaching, providing the power and the love of God toward people, because he was led not by his own mind, but he was led by the Spirit. We know that because he said on many occasions, I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. Isn't that right? He said, this is not of me. This is of the Father who sent me. And he was led by the Spirit. And we just read it just a minute ago. God wants you, not just Jesus. He wants you to not only be filled with the Holy Spirit, but to learn to be led by the Spirit. Led by the Spirit. How many of you know there are a lot of people that want to lead you? Isn't that right? If you don't know what to do, how many of you know advice is free out there? I'm telling you, somebody's going to tell you what to do. And you have to be careful of what advice you get. You got to be careful. And I thought this was funny. Somebody gave me this, and I think I've seen this on an email before, but this is a letter of advice, and it says, Dear homeowner, I want to give you some good instructions on how to clean your toilet. Number one, put both lids of the toilet up and add 1/8 of a cup of pet shampoo to the water in the bowl. Number two, pick up the cat. And soothe him while you carry him toward the bathroom. Number three, in one smooth movement, put the cat in the toilet and close both lids. You may have to sit on it. Number four, the cat will self-agitate and make ample suds. Never mind the noises that come from the toilet. The cat is actually enjoying this. Number five, flush the toilet 3 or 4 times. This provides a power wash and rinse. Number six, have someone open the front door of your home and be sure that there are no people between the bathroom and the front door. Number seven, stand behind the toilet as far as you can and quickly open both lids. Number eight, the cat will rocket out of the toilet, streak through the bathroom, run outside where he will dry himself off. Number nine, both the toilet and the cat will be sparkling clean. Sincerely, the dog. It is amazing to me the advice that is given in our world. We have so many people that are telling us what to do. You turn on the television, they're going to tell you what to do, what to buy. And you know, if you buy the right beer, you'll have three fine ladies come and start rubbing your shoulders. I saw it on TV. It's true. I saw that. We're marketed. Buy this. Be like this. Look like this. And everybody gives us advice. And yet, it doesn't fulfill us. People tell us, do this. Get this kind of a home. Get this kind of a car. Hang out with these kind of people. And yet our hearts, when we get down to how we really feel on the inside, when we're away from everybody, maybe you sit on the edge of your bed when nobody's around at night and you just think and you get in touch with yourself. Some people don't get in touch with themselves very often. They have the radio going and something going all the time. And it's not until you get by yourself and you sit there on your bed with nobody around and you think and you begin to hear your heart and you realize, something's not right. Something's missing. You may even be saved. You may even have Jesus. And so you know it's not the Lord. But you know, something's not going right in my life. I'm bumbling through life. I'm getting by. And I may even be having some fun. But when I get quiet, I realize that down in my heart of hearts, I know there's more than this. And I'm missing out. the more than this that your heart knows is out there can only be achieved and attained through being led by the Holy Spirit. See, because you were designed and created to accomplish certain things, and only God knows what those things are and how you need to conduct yourself to accomplish those things. But the awesome thing is he sent the Holy Spirit to lead you in those very paths that you need to walk in to attain those things that God has called you to do. The Holy Spirit's available. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. And Jesus was so excited about us receiving the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, not only to distribute power to others, but what the Holy Spirit would do in us and lead us into and all save us from if we would learn to be led by the Holy Spirit. Now let's look at a couple of things that Jesus said regarding the Holy Spirit. If you would turn to one more passage, 14th chapter. We're going to look at the 14th chapter a little bit and then the 16th chapter of John. John chapter 14. And then we'll read from chapter 16. In chapter 14 of John, the 26th verse, Jesus says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things." He will teach you all things. Everybody say, teach you. It goes on to say, "And bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." Everybody say, remind you. Remind you. Now look over at the 16th chapter, the 13th verse. Jesus says, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth." Everybody say, guide you. He goes on to say, "For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." Everybody say, reveal the future. So here are four things that Jesus told us, among others, that the Holy Spirit would do when he came. He will teach you. He will remind you. He will guide you. And he will reveal the future to you. How many of you know it could be very helpful to have the future revealed to you? Isn't that right? That's very helpful to have the future revealed. And so many, many times the Holy Spirit will be tugging on you and impressing you about something coming in the future, and we pay no attention and we pay the price as life goes on. But how many of you know, hey, Christians need not pay the price. We need not go blindly into situations that could have been avoided since we have the Holy Spirit. Isn't that right? But just because we have the Holy Spirit and just because we're born again and we know Jesus, that does not mean that we are led by the Holy Spirit. Avoiding pitfalls and seizing opportunities that God has put in our path. It's kind of like the video games, you know. Any of you that have watched a kid play video games, and sometimes there's a certain video game, like the old Donkey Kong and Mario and all that stuff, where they'll be trotting along, but there's something overhead that they need to jump up, and they'll get 100 points for it. And if they don't jump up, they don't get 100 points. And sometimes when I used to play those things, I was so freaked out by the barrels coming down. I forget all those things you jump for. I just want to avoid those barrels. But when you get really good, you're jumping over barrels and you're getting the points and doing everything else. And that's the kind of life that Jesus wants us to have. Not only avoiding those things that the enemy's throwing at us because we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, but also taking advantage of those points and blessings that are right there. We just have to leap up by direction of the Holy Spirit to receive them. And many, many Christians, I would say the majority of Christians, both don't avoid the obstacles and don't get the blessings either one, and bumble along as any unbeliever does, allowing life to happen to them. I don't know about you, but that's not the way I want to live, is it? Is that the way you want to live? No, just say this out loud. Say, I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. Say this. Say, I want to miss the bad stuff and catch the good stuff. Is that true? That's simple, isn't it? But how many of you know, just because it's simple, that doesn't mean it automatically happens. This is not an automatic transmission. This is a stick shift. And you're going to have to know and practice putting that clutch down and shifting those gears. And you may grind some things. You may try to get it in reverse while you're going 40 miles an hour and realize that that's bad. And once you figure out what you were trying to do, you'll realize that you're thankful you didn't get it done. It didn't go in reverse and leave your transmission on the ground while you're cruising down the street. I remember when I was a youth pastor that we had trouble with the high schoolers that graduate. In fact, it's a pretty common problem that most churches have. We had trouble with the high school graduates making it into the college ministries and staying in the church. In fact, statistics show that 65%, sometimes higher, of high schoolers that graduate from high school that are in church drop out of church, at least for a season of time, completely drop out of church. Just drop out. They're nowhere to be found. College ministries, generally speaking, are not the most successful ministries in churches. There's so many options for this high school grad. And they begin to get caught up with friends and such, and church gets left behind. And somehow churches need to figure out how to reach that age. And so we noticed that we had this college ministry, and we would graduate our high schoolers and do all the connection and have some activities together to try to connect the college ministry with the high school ministry so that we wouldn't have that drop off. And one year we had 65 high schoolers that graduated from our high school. On paper, that doesn't mean that they all showed up at the same time, but there were 65 that we could track that were active high schoolers that we encouraged to get over to the college ministry. And after about 3 months from graduation, we found out that only 3 were going to the college ministry. 7 had visited, only 3 stuck with it. And the reason was is because they didn't feel comfortable. They walked in there, and of course, our college ministry was one that kind of went up into the early 30s. And so these 18-year-old high school grads were walking in. You got white shirts and ties of real estate agents and loan officers and things. And they just didn't realize. They're talking whole different languages. The high school was like, dude, what's going on? Well, I wrote 3 loans today. And they're just on different levels, different pages altogether. And it just wasn't working. So we prayed and made the decision that at least for the time being, what we would do was we would keep the high school and college together, allow them to graduate, but stay in an environment that they were comfortable with until we could figure out what to do. And it became very successful. And within a matter of just a few months, we were running 60, 65 college-age people in this whole overall high school and college ministry. Now, after that went on for some time, we as a church hired a college pastor and felt like, why don't we do this? Why don't we take one step at a time and we'll all worship together with the high school and college, but then we'll have this new college pastor separate and do the teaching at the level of college age people, 18 to 24. And the older ones would stay with the traditional, the other college ministry, and that would go from 25 up. And we just have this brand new college age, 18 to 24. And so we began to do that. We hired a college pastor, a very, very wonderful person. And we'd all worship together. And then we'd split off, and the college began to go in their room, and they were excited about it. And, you know, now they're out from the high schoolers, you know, those little immature kids that they were just last year, right? They were excited about this, and everything was going good. And I remember we were doing that for about 2 months. And I was up one morning praying in my living room, just walking around praying in the Spirit. And all of a sudden, I got this sense in my spirit from the Holy Spirit that we need to put these groups back together. Now, I didn't really have the authority to do that because I didn't hire the college pastor. Even though technically college ministries was under my oversight, I hadn't been given the authority that I could just do whatever I wanted. These college pastors also answered to our assistant pastor and our senior pastor. And so it wasn't something that I just had the authority to go in and say, hey, let's just throw them back together. It was something that was going to have to be approved through our pastor and assistant pastor. And so when my wife woke up, I said, honey, I feel like the Holy Spirit wants us to put our groups back together. She looked at me with big eyes. Well, how's that going to happen? You know, we just hired a college pastor. We're paying him to do the college ministry. What's that going to be like? You know, how are pastor and assistant pastor, how are they going to feel about paying a person and they're not really doing what they're hired to do? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I just feel I get a sense from the Holy Spirit. See, we're going to talk about the difference between a sense of the Holy Spirit and the voice of the Holy Spirit, the sense of your own spirit and the voice of your own spirit. We're going to talk about that. The Bible talks about these things and the difference between those. But just for now, just to let you know, I had a sense. I didn't hear a voice. I just had a sense that we need to put these groups back together. So I went first to the college pastor, who was a good friend of mine. I said, listen, I sense, I don't know why, that the Holy Spirit wants us to put our groups back together. He said, well, you know, whatever you want to do. So I said, let's go talk to our assistant pastor. We went and talked to him. And I believe that the Holy Spirit gave him a sense that that was the right thing to do, even though it didn't make logical sense. There was excitement going. Everything looked great. We hadn't been losing. We'd been gaining. And he said, okay, well, let's do it. Go ahead, put them back together. And so we did. And there was some people that didn't really appreciate that a whole lot, didn't really understand it. We didn't have a real great explanation other than, hey, we just feel like the Lord wants us to do it. And so we did it. Well, it was just about maybe, a couple of months, right in there, maybe 3 months at the most. We put the groups back together, and all of a sudden, this new college pastor that we'd hired on, his wife left him, walked out. I don't want to be in the ministry. I don't like this. I don't like you. I don't want any part of this. And it devastated him. Surprised us all. I had no idea that was going to happen. He had no idea that was going to happen. She seemed fine. Everything seemed okay. She walked out, and he had to pretty quickly resign from the ministry and go and to get his marriage restored. And we didn't lose one college person. Now somebody might say, man, Jerry, you're smart. I'm not smart. I had no idea. You understand? I'm not that smart. I had no idea that was going to happen. The Holy Spirit's smart. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit's smart. Let me tell you, one first thing that you need to understand about being led by the Spirit is many, many, many times, I would say most times, what He leads you to do is not logical. You understand that? If it was logical, we wouldn't need the Holy Spirit because we can think logically. List the pros and cons. I see so many Christians list pros and cons. There's nothing wrong with that. But make the final decision the Lord's. Right. Lord, here are the pros and cons as if you didn't already know. What do you want me to do? Say this one, Lord. Say this one because that one's bad, right? But give Him the choice. Because how many of you know you're only listing the pros and cons that you know? You don't know what's going to happen in the future, but the Holy Spirit knows what's going to happen in the future. Being led by the Spirit is so awesome because you're being led by someone who has the bird's eye view of past, present, and future. He knows everything about everything. 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 He knows everything. And He's inside of you and wants to lead you around pitfalls and into blessings of God. Into the blessings of God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding in all your ways. How many ways?
All.
In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. How many ways?
All.
Do what? Acknowledge Him. What does that mean? That means stop in your tracks and say, Lord, I need your wisdom now. God, I need your advice now. Holy Spirit, I want to follow you now. What are you saying to me? And some of us say it periodically. Some of us say it regularly. Some of us say it rarely. And some of us never ask the Lord. We've become so accustomed to making our own decisions and depending on ourselves that we miss out on this great opportunity to be led by the Holy Spirit. And it says, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. How many of you know the Holy Spirit cares about everything? Some people think, well, He's such a big God. You know, He's so busy. He doesn't care about, you know, shopping. He does. He's the best bargain finder, I'll tell you, anywhere. Not only that, He'll lead you to the place to see the right outfit that looks good on you. Did you know that? And you'll buy some cheesy thing because you got frustrated and didn't follow the Holy Spirit and went to the wrong store and bought the wrong thing and you don't even like it, you don't even wear it. You paid for it. How many of you have purchased things and it just hangs in your closet because you don't like it? But you bought it because you wanted something. You needed something. But the Holy Spirit cares about that. Did you know that? Man, I stand in my closet sometimes and say, okay, Holy Spirit, what should I wear today? Somebody thinks, oh, that's taking it too far. You think so? How many of you know the Holy Spirit knows who you're going to meet today?
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
and how you need to be. There have been some days where I just want to kick it in my jeans and such. And I just have a little sense. No, don't be that casual. And turn up meeting somebody, some businessman somewhere that's just decked out. And all of a sudden they look differently when you're not just in your grubby, wrinkled t-shirt. Nothing wrong with that. But how many of you know the Holy Spirit knows those things? Isn't that right? Somebody says, well, it doesn't matter. If you're full of this Holy Spirit, man looks at the outward appearance. The Lord looks at the heart, but man looks at the outward appearance. Isn't that right? And so we can be led about everything. How many of you know God cares about the right car, buying the right car? God cares about your car that's not running right. The Holy Spirit will show you what the Holy Spirit. Does the Holy Spirit know about cars? I mean, he knows everything about everything. He cares about finances. He knows exactly what your financial problem is. And here he, the one who knows everything, the one who has caused anybody that ever prospered in the kingdom of God to prosper, is living inside of you to help you to prosper. And yet we don't allow him to lead us. What's that called? There are a number of different names for that, huh? Some of which we ought not speak in church. Dumb. That's one we can probably say. Not smart, because the Holy Spirit knows. You believe you can believe God for a parking space at the mall at Christmas time? Huh? I'm telling you, I just drive up and park way out in the boonies rather than fool with it. She'll say, what are you doing? What are you parking out here for? So we can get going. Let's go. We'll walk. It's okay to walk. It's good for us. Come on, let's walk. No, we're not going to walk. Pull up there. And we'll pull up there and we'll get a good spot. She does. She believes God for parking spaces. Amen. The Holy Spirit knows everything about everything. Say that with me. The Holy Spirit knows everything about everything. Everything. Everything the Holy Spirit knows. Work, school, relationships, purchasing the right home, fixing your home. Everything. Single people, the Holy Spirit knows exactly who and who not. Amen. And he will save you from problem after problem. I remember, you know, most people, they'll get into a career, they'll get into a school and get a degree and get into a career. And you know, a lot of people that get into a career, they don't even like what they do. But they've spent so much time in school and spent so much time pursuing that, and maybe they've got some little bit of retirement benefits going, that they don't want to make a change. Wouldn't it have been good to have been following the Holy Spirit the whole time? Well, what happens if you're where you are right now? And you know in your heart, I'm not in the right place. Man, I'm not being blessed here. I don't like it. I don't sense that this is where God wants me to be. But, so since this first part of your life, you've already gone off track and out of the will of God, not doing what you're called to do, and you're into it, well, why don't we just spend the rest of our life being out of the will of God? That makes sense, doesn't it? You don't think somebody sitting next to you would be that kind of a person, do you? Just look at them and say, you wouldn't be like that, would you? Come on, tell them. You wouldn't be like that. You know, I remember one of the toughest things that I ever went through was when I had been youth pastoring 8.5 years, paid, really 9.5 years in the youth ministry at our church, but a year of it was volunteer as the junior high pastor, 8.5 years as the paid youth pastor of the church. And we had taken the youth on a retreat Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We were coming back Saturday night to go to church on Sunday morning. And I believe it was the Friday in August that I was in my Well, it was not my study because it was at a hotel, but it was in a big boardroom, had the big long table with chairs all around it. There was nobody in there but me, and I was just walking around this room, around this big table with my Bible, and I was meditating on what I was going to teach that night at this retreat. And I was studying the passage where it said, and Jesus, leaving Nazareth, came and dwelt in Capernaum, meaning that Jesus was rejected at Nazareth. He tried to tell him, I'm anointed now. It's different. I'm not the person that you grew up with. See, Nazareth is where he grew up. But I'm anointed now. The Spirit of the Lord's on me. And they tried to throw him off the cliff. How many remember that? Wait, that's Mary's boy. That's Joseph. We know his brothers. And they say, wait, who does he think he is? And so they tried to kill him. And so the Bible says, in response, Jesus left Nazareth and came and dwelt in Capernaum. I never had caught before that he didn't just go to minister in Capernaum. He moved. He moved his hometown from being Nazareth to being Capernaum. And I was meditating on this, and the Holy Spirit was enlightening me to the fact that even Jesus was not accepted for what the change that had happened in his life by all of his peers. And so he had to make a change and go from having these friends to having other friends. He had to go somewhere where he was accepted. And so I was meditating on this, and as I was doing it, I was preaching it and just mumbling and muttering this to myself and just saying, and I was speaking as if I was speaking to the teenagers that night and the college age. I was speaking as if I was speaking to them, and I was saying, see, you have to be ready to make a change. Not everybody's going to receive what God has done and how God has changed you in your life. Your friends won't all receive you, so you have to be ready to make a change. And I was teaching that, not that they were there. I was all by myself, but I was teaching it and meditating on how the Holy Spirit was going to minister to them that night. And that's something that I would do regularly. And as I was saying that, you got to be ready to make a change. The Holy Spirit spoke in my heart and said, be ready to make a change. Now, I mean, that hit me hard. Because when he said that, the sense that I had was that he meant make a change from the ministry that I was doing there at the church with the youth. And that was heavy because I had no desire to go anyplace else. I had no aspiration to move on or to make it a stepping stone and to become a senior pastor or anything. I had a vision for those teenagers and those college-age students to bring them into the Word of God and living with Jesus and into the ministry that God had called them to, no matter what career they were called to, into that fullness of the Spirit and moving in the power of God. That was it. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, be ready to make a change. Now, that's the voice of the Spirit. That's different. Now, I didn't hear it audibly out here. I just heard it down in my spirit, in my heart. Be ready to make a change. And I just had to stop because I knew the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And I went and talked to my wife, who was there, and I said, sweetie, the Holy Spirit told me to be ready to make a change. She said, what does that mean? I said, I believe he's talking about the ministry that we have at the church. Shocked her too, because we just didn't have any intention of going anywhere. I went and told David, who was at that retreat, one teaching with us, leading worship. He said, really? I said, yeah, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. Well, that was, I think, on Friday. Saturday, we came back Saturday night. We went to church on Sunday. We had youth group and church and all that. And then Monday, all the pastors are off. And then Tuesday morning, my senior pastor called me in to talk to me. And he said, have a seat. And he said, listen, last week while you guys were out, I wrestled all night one night, and I feel like the Lord wants us to make a change. Well, what do you feel? He said, well, I think we need to make a change with you, not being our youth pastor anymore. And he said, I really don't know what we'll have you do, but I thought we could make you a staff evangelist. I said, well, what's a staff evangelist? He said, well, you can go around the community around here and knock on doors, invite people to the church. Man, I'm telling you, there was no excitement about that. Why don't I sell a vacuum cleaner while I'm at it? And so I told him, well, you know what? The Holy Spirit just spoke to me on Friday or at the weekend to be ready to make a change. So I believe you're hearing from the Lord. But I didn't expect it to be so quick. And I didn't tell him this, but I didn't expect somebody to make the change for me. I heard, be ready to make a change. I thought I was going to make the change. But how many of you thank God for the Holy Spirit showing you what's coming so it just doesn't catch you off guard and you believe somebody is just controlling your life and the Holy Spirit's not involved? And so I said, well, you know, he said, pray about it. Okay, let me take a little time and pray about this. And so that was nice of him to say, because he didn't always say that. Sometimes he just said, that's what we're doing. And it's kind of like, live with it. You can pray about it, but we're doing it anyway. You know? But he said, pray about it. Okay, I will. And I spent a few days, and I came back to him, and I said, you know, I said, I believe you're hearing from the Lord because the Holy Spirit spoke to me too, but what you've asked me to do, being the staff evangelist, that just is not bearing witness in my heart with what the Lord has called me to do in this next season. That just doesn't seem like that's it. And he said, well, what do you think is it? I said, well, you know, I've still got youth ministry on my heart, and what I really have on my heart is to train other youth pastors and to help them to grow. We had a number of youth pastors that were visiting our group all the time and trying to figure out what it was that was making our youth grow and what it was that was getting our youth to worship God and to be in the Word like they were. And so I had this on my heart to help other youth pastors in this, and I said, that's what's on my heart. He said, well, I don't know where you're going to do that. And I said, I don't either. And he goes, well, we'll give you a raise to be the staff evangelist. You know, it's not money. You know, when we're talking about your life, it's not money. Man, I want to be where God wants me to be. And I said, you know, I appreciate that, but I just want to be where the Lord wants me to be. And so anyway, I said, let me have a little bit more time. So I prayed and I came back to him and I said, you know what? I am asking God, and I believe that God has something for me to do in this next phase, but this doesn't seem like it. He goes, well, so what do you want to do? He's kind of like ready for a decision now. You know, I've delayed long enough. It's almost been a week. So I said, well, I guess if that's all that's available, then I would think that the Holy Spirit wants me to leave because I'm sensing that there's something else. So he goes, okay, well, we'll have a party for you. And he began to plan it out. Oh, he was just real distraught about it, I could tell. And so I walked out, and I just couldn't believe what was happening. Just something was weird. I hadn't been out of the will of God in so many years, and all of a sudden I felt like, what's going on here? I know the Holy Spirit spoke to me. How many of you have ever been in a place where you're trying to find the will of God, and it's just not evident? You know what I'm talking about? And so I went back and I told my wife, I think I just resigned. She said, what are we going to do? I don't know. And so a few days went by, and man, I really felt like I was out of God's will. And God wasn't speaking to me. I was praying in the Spirit. I was asking for wisdom, and I wasn't getting any words from God. And this thought hit me. You know, God didn't tell me to leave. Here I am, I'm resigning and going. I know God had called me to this church. It wasn't my option to continue to do what I love to do. But God didn't tell me to leave, and here I am deciding to leave. And I with no direction from the Lord to do that. And so I thought, you know what? I'm not going to go anywhere without the Holy Spirit telling me to. So I went back in and I said, Pastor, I think I missed it. And I just humbled myself and said, the Lord didn't tell me to leave. I mean, this doesn't seem like the right thing, but, you know, if you still want me to, I'll do it. He said, I already hired somebody else to do it now. Oh. How many of you know you don't want to be a problem, right? And I felt so bad. Felt like, oh, man, I'm just messing everything up. I'm making it hard. The Bible says, obey those who have rule over you and be submissive, for they watch over your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. And I want to be a joy to my overseers. I don't want to be a grief and a burden and an irritation. And I felt so bad. Oh, I'm so sorry. And he goes, well, let me pray about it. Okay, and I walked out. I walked out, and I was headed back over to my house because we just lived on the campus next door in a church parsonage. And on the way out, a friend of mine, close friend of mine, met me, and he goes, Guess what? And I, what? He goes, Pastor just hired me. And I said, really? He goes, yeah, staff evangelist. And he thought he was going to work with me. We were going to, you know, all be on the team together. That's great. That's great. I felt so horrible. I'm messing everybody's life up, and I don't even know what I'm doing. And so a couple days later, he called me back in and said, okay, well, I want you to do it, but I want a 2-year commitment. Oh, I'm thinking 2 years of doing this. I was thinking, well, I'll go ahead and do it, and then the Lord will open up what he's got for me, and then we'll move. He said, I want a 2-year commitment. And he saw the look on my face, and he goes, do you want to pray about it? Please. And so a couple days later, here I come back. And all of this has happened within 2 weeks, but it just seemed to him like it was stretching out forever, and it seemed like that to me as well. And I came back, and I said, okay, I will do it. I'll give you a 2-year commitment. But I really believe in my heart that God has something else for me to do. And so I'm going to submit to you that if the Holy Spirit brings that opportunity up, that you'll recognize it's of the Lord and release me from my 2-year commitment. Otherwise, I will do this position for at least 2 years. And he said, okay. And I began to knock on doors and invite people to church. Let me tell you something about El Monte. In El Monte, there are more Catholics than people. I never met so many Catholic people in all of my life. And I tell you what, I was coming home every day and just feeling like, man, what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong, God? What's going on here? And I did that for weeks, maybe 6 weeks, somewhere between 4-6, less than 2 months for sure. And the general supervisor of the denomination, Four Square denomination, called my pastor and said, I want to talk to you about your youth pastor because our national youth leader resigned and your youth pastor was recommended. He said, our youth pastor? He just started. He said, he did? He said, well, who are you talking about? He said, I'm talking about Jerry Dierman. He said, he was recommended to take this position and I wanted to talk to him. What do you think about it? Now, I thought many times, what if I had looked at my pastor and said, you know what, I know the Holy Spirit's saying to change, but you need to slow down. You're getting way too edgy about this, too quick. I mean, there are teenagers, hundreds of teenagers that have to be considered here, and things that I thought in my mind, but I didn't say with my mouth. What if I had left and said, you know, forget this staff evangelist stuff. I'm not going to be just thrown into something. I'm a man of God. I'm anointed of the Lord. Got something to offer. I got something to bring to the table. Somebody will hire me. And I left, copped an attitude. What would my pastor have said to the general supervisor? Thought of that many times. But now he's got a staff member that has humbled himself and is working hard. But we both know this is not it. He knows, and I know. But I'm doing my job, and I'm being humble, not complaining about it. And it was his pleasure to recommend me. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Because I've got a right attitude and a right heart, but he knew this wasn't it. And let me tell you something else, too. He recommended me, and I obtained I actually sat down, my wife and I, with the general supervisor, and he said, I want you to tell me, what do you think our denomination needs from the National Youth Office? And I said, the number one thing we need is youth pastors need training. He said, that's what we're looking for. You're the person. And he hired me. That wasn't hard, was it? And I moved past all the district representatives, people that had gone from youth pastor to overseeing states of youth pastors. And people wondered, how did he get there? And I was wondering the same thing. How did I get here? Knowing it was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. But I tell you this, you have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You can't defend yourself. You can't cop an attitude. You can't fight for your rights and promote yourself. You got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And sometimes you realize you missed it and something's not right in your spirit. And you got to be able to backtrack and go, go the way the Holy Spirit says to go, even if it seems like the worst way. How many of you know the first place that the Holy Spirit led Jesus was into the wilderness to be tempted and tested by the devil? Is that true? And that's exactly what I felt like. I felt like, man, the Holy Spirit's not leading me to leave. He's leading me into something that is just not me. I'm just dying on the inside, I feel like. But yet there was a test of humility going on, a test of character, a test if I was going to badmouth my pastor to some of the people in the church and say, man, he doesn't care. Didn't care about the youth, didn't care about this, didn't care about that, and things that in my hurt I was thinking, not realizing that the Holy Spirit was so much a part of this. Now, in retrospect, I've thought many times, what would have happened if my pastor would have said, man, I feel like we need to make a change. And I would have said, me too. The Holy Spirit spoke to me. All right, let's you and I be praying about this. I mean, we've got all these youth and everything. Let's be praying about how we're going to do this and what the Holy Spirit does. And probably if we'd have both been praying about that for 2 months, 3 months at the most, the call would have come and it would have been obvious. But no, we had to do it really fast. Let's put this guy in turmoil. It's called the wilderness. You hear me? And you don't make it to the power and the blessing unless you pass the tests of the wilderness. The children of Israel did not pass the test of the wilderness, and so they had to take another lap. In fact, they lapped for 40 years. Jesus in 40 days was in and out. You understand what I'm talking about? The Holy Spirit will lead you into places that don't make any sense to you, but there's a testing going on. There's something happening with your character and the Holy Spirit developing over there opportunities for you. And all of a sudden, I've got a budget that started off at about $150,000 a year. It said, use this budget to train youth. I'm given a budget. Turned out to be closer to $300,000 by the time I was done with my 6-year term, $300,000 a year to train, to do what I believe God wanted me to do. And I was given position and budget and a national platform to be able to do what it was that I sensed in my heart the Holy Spirit wanted me to do. What are we talking about? We're talking about being led by the Holy Spirit from the inside, from the inside. Because he knows what you're called to do. He knows where the blessings are, where the things are that he has for you. I don't care how young or how old you are. The Holy Spirit knows what to do from this point right here and will lead you to avoid the pitfalls and to take advantage of the blessings. How many of you say, I want to be led by the Holy Spirit? Amen. Let's stand right now and let's pray to God. Let's pray.